Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And even though there have been not so positive news going on around us the last few days and weeks, this too is still a day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad. The last few weeks in our worship, there has definitely been a pattern. And that has to do with the importance of fluids in one's life. Not only have we discussed the importance of water and other healthy fluids for the body, we've also focused in on the fluids of life that God provides for our soul, namely the refreshment we receive through the gospel in word and in the sacraments. And so we ask the Lord God to continue to do for us what He always has done as we gather together for worship, and that is to refresh us through His means of grace. Let us turn our attention to our opening hymn. It's hymn 441 in the red hymnal. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. God, you reveal your mighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace, that we may obtain your promises and become partakers of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, the word of our Lord, first of all, comes to us from the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. Have you ever said the words, "if only"? Sometimes we need to be careful how we use those words. We have an example of such in our reading for today. Our Lord tells us, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?' Moses also said, 'You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. The word of the Lord. We turn our attention to our psalm for today, Psalm 145. We'll join in singing it as we reflect on the important attitude we are to have by God's grace toward Him, an attitude of trust. A reminder that the past has been recorded down for our learning. Refuse to learn from it, and it could be costly. This reminder from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, where we are encouraged to consume ourselves on Jesus and what He has to offer us. This is why. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor His disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the lake, they asked Him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." Then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." So they asked Him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention on the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we're here once again. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people of God, able to have our thirst, our true need thirst, quenched by that rock, Jesus Christ. So what is it that you have found to quench your thirst, especially on a hot day or perhaps after a really intense workout? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of water, and so water is a classic go-to. Sports drinks are popular. Iced coffee for some might do the trick. How about a cup of hot coffee? A couple of weeks ago, I ordered in the afternoon a cup of hot coffee, and the person serving me that coffee thought it was odd to drink a cup of hot coffee in the heat of the day. Well, that's me, odd. Whatever drink you choose, sometimes it will work and quench our thirst, while at other times we still may be left thirsting and wanting something more, which then leads us to our text for today. We are reminded of how God provided for the children of Israel on their journey from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. The Israelites grew hungry and became thirsty along the way, especially when out in the desert. So God provided food for them in the form of manna, bread-like substance, and also quail. He also provided water. And one of the unique ways in which God provided water for the children of Israel was through a rock. Such provisions of food and water typified or pointed to something else, something bigger and better, namely the Christ, who oftentimes is referred to as the bread of life or the water of life. Fitting terms, since it is through Christ, in Him alone, that people are able to find the sustenance they need for this life and the one to come. For man does not live on earthly bread alone, Jesus has said. As Old Testament Israel then was able to find their satisfaction, or they were supposed to be able to find their satisfaction from the hand of God, so it is no different for us today. God still provides for us through natural means, bread and water. And He also provides for us what we need for our spiritual nourishment. But just as bread and water need to be digested in order to be a benefit to us, so also we need to drink up the Christ, to digest Him. And then it's not as bad as it sounds, for what He has to offer us to be a benefit to us. As Israel received water from a rock, and that process directed them to the promised Messiah, so too when we drink from the Word of our God, we are to acknowledge the fact that we are being connected to the Messiah who has come and will be coming back. There is not a time then in our life that we are not to be doing this, and that is drink from the rock named Christ. It is definitely important for us to do this when we think we are standing firm. And not only is that the case, the benefit in drinking from that rock named Christ is that it will help us stand firm in all situations. A typical day for the Israelites while on the journey consisted of gathering the manna provided, but only on the 6 days the Lord had prescribed. And on that sixth day, they were to gather enough for day seven. That was the only time people were to keep overnight what they had gathered. Those who did not listen, well, what did they find? They found maggots in what had been gathered the day before. And those who went on looking on day seven for manna, well, what did they find? Nothing. Just as the Lord had laid it out through his servant Moses. Quail came in the evening. They put on the same clothes and sandals. They would grumble some more yet. As they were missing the point of the journey and how the Lord was providing for them, he was doing so outside of the norm. And so instead of thankfulness, there was complaining. Instead of adhering to the Lord's given advice, there must have been a buildup of wax in their ears as the Israelites' listening skills were not good. Just the opposite for us, right? We got that listening skill down pat, correct? Just ask some of the spouses about their spouse, how good their listening skills are. Or employers, how good their employees are at listening. Dear friends, this is one area all of us have ongoing improvement training necessary. Sometimes we think we are listening, but our actions prove something otherwise. We hear this James 1 example. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Listening and action go together. Luke 11:28 makes this point. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Israel at times was listening, but they were not putting into practice what they heard. We at times are listening, like we are doing right now, at least some of us anyway. And what are we to do with what we hear from the word of our Lord? Do we live our lives like we just heard for the first time that all of our sins have been completely forgiven? Or do we gloss over that message and fall back into self-righteousness and worry? We are encouraged to love one another as the Lord God loves us. How is that kind of love working for you? How's it going? Are our actions still more looking out for ourselves than for the needs of others? Israel expected God to bless them even though their listening skills were just plain out awful. Do we expect the same from God? Hey, Lord, I know through your word that you told me that I should not live together before marriage with someone like we are actually married. And I'm not really feeling the love from you. So what gives? Did we forget the second half of Luke 11 and James 1? Hey, Lord, I know you said that stealing is wrong, but I did not think you were talking to me. And now that I got caught, don't you love me? Again, what part of listening and obeying are we having trouble with? In verses 6 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 10, the Lord provides examples of Israel's poor listening skills and what ended up being the result. And that led then to what the Apostle Paul says in verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Romans 15 gives similar encouragement in the value of learning and practicing what we learn from history when it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And one more passage to drive home the point of the importance of learning history and not changing it to fit our narrative. From John chapter 20. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Listening to and learning about the past is for our benefit, right now and all the way into heaven. So how would you rate your listening skills? Keeping in mind the measurement of such can be determined by how well we put into practice that it is which we hear. Keeping in mind what we hear is on the up and up. There are multiple sources vying for our ears and our eyes, right? And so the importance of using discernment when it comes to listening and then acting upon what we hear. This is why it is important for us to drink from, that is, listen to, the Word of God. To drink up from that rock called the Christ. As a rock suggests something solid, so drinking from that rock named Christ emphasizes that He is solid, trustworthy. And how important it is then to keep drinking from that rock named Christ. Especially when we think we are standing firm. What is it that goes before the fall? Pride. Thinking too much of ourselves and or our abilities. And what does not help with us when it comes to our ego is when people feed the ego, good intentions, though they may be. Think of how many young professional athletes have hit the bottom because the ego was being fed. Israel thought too much of themselves, forgetting their humble roots, and so not appreciative of God's simple and yet sufficient provisions. What other sins besides pride or ego can get the best of us? What is it that you think you got this? And while others may succumb to it, you say, I never will. Drinking? Drugs? Making shady deals? Neglecting worship? Not loving your spouse and or your children? More toys for the recreation place? What is it that will take your heart away from God? And will you even know it is happening at the time? Or do you think you are above temptation and falling out of faith? Stop drinking from the rock named Christ, and that is exactly what is going to happen to us. It did to many in Israel, and we have their example to learn from. And so Paul was led to write this. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Again, how important it is to drink from that rock named Christ so that we can stand firm in all situations. Not a one of us is exempt from being tempted by something. Not even Jesus, while in flesh, was exempt from temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. But if we are not careful, constantly paying attention, present tense used in our text for good reason, we can fall when temptation is before us. A click of the mouse here, what seemed to be a harmless lunch date with a coworker, social media gossip, St. Mattress over St. Mark's, and so on. It is arrogance on our part, to think that we can resist any and all temptation without someone taking the lead in our life, and that lead has to be the Christ. But He cannot lead if we are not making the time to listen to Him. The ability to recognize temptation for what it is And we estimate that Satan knows what that weakness is for each and every one of us, and he will do his best to exploit it. The ability to resist is found in and through Christ. Read again Ephesians 6 for more on this important need. And at the heart of that ability that Christ gives us, that we have through Christ, is the fact that he lived the perfect life in our place and has credited us with that perfect life through faith. And that faith can come to us directly through the gospel itself and also in the sacrament of holy baptism, which is able to work on the hearts of infants and adults. For what is behind that gift is God's power, as we bring nothing to the justification table. That perfect life that Christ lived on our behalf put him in position to do what he came for. And that was to give his life as a ransom for our lives. An innocent death he died, but oh so powerful of a death, as each and every one of us can recognize the fact now by grace that all of our sins have been completely washed away from God the Father's presence. Such forgiveness cannot be earned, but only given. And that by grace. Grace also then enables us to take what we have been given by God through Christ and put it into practice on a daily basis. We don't then use forgiveness as an excuse to give in to temptation. We don't use forgiveness as an excuse to stop listening and putting into practice the things we hear from God. Forgiveness is why we listen and why we put into practice. Forgiveness is why we still want to keep on drinking from that rock named Christ. That is the way God provides for us to able to recognize temptation and to overcome temptation. And when we do fall, that is also the way for us to stand up again. This is also why God has given us believing friends and family to encourage us, to chide us, to build us up, to live alongside us when temptation comes. And it will, for such is nothing new under the sun. But by God's grace, we will be able to stand firm as we drink from that rock named Christ. A rock that was given to us by grace. And as we heard last week, that grace so generously poured out to us all by God through that rock named Christ. And so, dear friends in Christ, drink up. Drink up that rock named Christ. And that leads all God's people to say, please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that rock that keeps refreshing us. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found for us in page 11. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church,
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We pray, Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love, for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days, praise to you, immortal praise, amen. We turn now to the prayer of the church on page 12. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth.
Strengthen us through this heavenly food. Increase our trust.
Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them in need of kindness.
Lord of life, you chasten and you heal. We ask for your hand of healing on our sister Audra Tritch, as she is facing heightened health challenges. Help the medical team find answers, and therefore relief for her. We commend her to your care, not only for the physical needs, but especially the spiritual, as you keep her eyes of faith drinking from the rock named Christ. As you have called Terry Jackson to yourself in heaven this past week, We thank you for the gift of faith you had given to him through the waters of baptism, and how you nurtured that faith all his years by way of your means of grace. As you have brought eternal relief to him, continue to bring comfort and healing to Clara and the family as they mourn his death, and at the same time have reason to celebrate his life, especially his life in Jesus. With all the fires raging around us, we have another harsh reminder to not take life and property for granted, as many have lost loved ones and property as a result of the fires. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Help those fighting the fires, granting them success and safety. Bring healing to those who have suffered loss. Help us learn to find and keep our trust in what you provide, which fire cannot destroy. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. And the love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Great to see all of you once again, and hopefully have an opportunity to talk to one another before you leave our campus today. Just a reminder, Bible study is taking place today. We have the Gospel of Mark taking place here in the church proper, and then a foundations class that's for those looking at membership or just want to review a basic doctrine that takes place in the next building, in the chapel room, and then also teen class in the upper room here, and Sunday school in the various classrooms. To our guests among us, or glad you are with us. Please stop by our welcome center there in the entryway. We have a gift for you we'd like to give to you. Open gym tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30. Fall work day on Saturday. That's why the whiteboard is out there in the lobby. Hopefully, all of you be nice, but I realize you get lots of stuff going on. If the more hands, the better. This is our fall cleanup. We want to get everything looking nice for the for the start of school coming up very quickly. Plus, also, we're planning to re-site building 6, a couple sides of that, so we could use some capable hands to help us with that on Saturday. So please keep that in mind. Thank you. Andy Schwieger's victory service, a reminder, is on the 18th at 11 o'clock. That's a Saturday. And then Terry Jackson's victory service will be this Wednesday at 11 o'clock here at the church. The family has asked that in lieu of flowers, gifts by Terry's wishes be given either to the church or to Wells Missions. It could be both. Non-St. Mark students and parents, if your students are going into 7th and 8th grade, please contact Pastor Groth for catechism class information. It's our LWMS mission box Sunday, so please see the information board back there regarding LWMS materials. And speaking of that, we have an opportunity to hear a couple people speak to LWMS in brief. Just ask for your patience a few more minutes. Chuck Klinker will talk about LWMS and the importance of that work. And then Noel Lederman should be here to also talk about missions in general. And there's a great video that summarizes what we are allowed to do by God's grace when it comes to spreading the gospel. So enough of me. Here you go, Chuck.